move along to the Finance and Budget Committee, and Chair McKinney, turn it over to you.
Okay, we have four action items on our agenda today. The first being FB1, approval of personnel actions. So do you have something, anything you want to present on that?
No, not really on the, Jeff, if you can pull up my presentation. Really nothing on the personnel actions. I mean, they're pretty standard. It's the approved personnel actions between the end of May and the end of September, and then the one-time compensation payments between the 1st of June and the end of September. So they're pretty standard. I met with Shane and David earlier this week to go through any issues they might have had with the actions, and really nothing significant came up.
Thank you, Susan. Do I have a motion to approve FB1?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Jan, would you want to second this?
She's on mute.
Yeah. Did you second it, Jan? All right, you're on mute.
Yes, I'm sorry. Second motion.
All right. Does anybody have any discussion on FB1?
You know, there's been some conversation on and around campus this week, on the internet, or some trolling that's gone on about some of the amounts related to some of the salary changes. Now, I can't speak for other areas that have had these changes, but I can speak for public broadcasting. And, you know, the changes, and I'm, by the way, conflicted out of this vote, so it'll be an abstention on that. You know, when we looked at some of the changes and the way in relationship with what we're approaching as an RCM model, a grant model related to the way we manage ourselves, we looked at all of our staffing levels, our structure, our mission, future needs, and some of the historical issues we had related to salaries. We redesigned public media to provide an advanced structure and a pathway for people to advance within the organization. There are positions that we submitted for approval that do not have occupants because when people achieve those goals, we want to be able to promote them. Whether, you know, we just don't wait on somebody to resign for that. We need people to have a desire to move forward, which they do. And also, we've worked for a couple of fiscal years to streamline our spending and increase our efficiencies. And, you know, a couple of FYs ago, we were spending 63% on salary and fringe of all of our expenditures. In FY22, that number is 50%. So not only have we reduced the amount of our percentage going towards salary and fringe, we've streamlined the other ways that we're spending money to allow that to happen. And the most important part of that is that we did it with no new university money. So I can't stress that enough. When people look at reports and they see salary changes, promotions or advancements or things that maybe should have taken place years ago, they need to see the context behind some of these decisions. The restructuring, the alignment, consequences related to early retirement packages, things that have to be managed and with great level of fiduciary responsibility. We looked at every salary level all the way down to part-time permanent, and that salary got raised 40%, and that's an hourly wage. So we changed everyone in public media and got to a more competitive place, but more importantly, we did it with, I didn't have to request any additional ENG funding from the campus. The design of all of this was something in line with what the staff has been concerned about. And I'm not talking about our staff, but I'm talking about rewarding existing talent. You know, we talk about existing talent, the value of people that have served on this campus. We wanted to demonstrate that that could happen. And also be able to attract new talent. We have more positions open right now because of this great migration of employees that's going on all over the country than we've had in a long time. We have to be able to recruit so we can maintain our status as overall excellence in public radio for the first time in our program's history. So the important features here, and also I want to stress, I can't speak for other areas. You know, this has also been done, philanthropy, strategic communications, athletics, other areas. These restructures are about using resources that are already there, finding ways to streamline funding that may have been misappropriated in the past, and reward people that are already, you know, the university is not, the job of Susan and President Cavone is not to find new money to pay people what they deserve. Our leadership in our colleges and our staffing areas, if they have been misappropriating these funds, need to redirect resources, and it may take a few years because of the way that they have structured themselves historically. But there is some responsibility that we have to own related to these. The only reason I'm saying this today, other than it being the truth, is because members of my staff, and I hate to say mine because we're a team, so our team have been attacked on the internet again for doing nothing other than their jobs. And it's not right. So I appreciate the efforts and the support. The plan that we put forward, even though it was rejected 3 times, we finally found the right mix to get it approved. But I want to stress that it's not always the university's responsibility to come up with an additional amount of money just because an area needs it. Areas need to be empowered themselves, and that's what they're doing. They're moving in this direction, and I applaud that effort. I have to abstain from this because I have a conflict on it, but thanks for your time.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Regent Brinkley, thank you for both your comments and your efforts in public media. And I also want to call up Vice President Trebue, who's done similar work, new Assistant Vice Presidents John Mark Francis and Andrea Hales, and our Director of Athletics, Todd Stewart. When we entered into the VSIP process, you heard me say over and over and over again, the outcome of this was not reducing faculty and staff. The outcome of this was creating opportunities to reimagine, rethink, and reorganize in a way that improved our processes, created career ladders for our staff, rewarded performers, and helped us reassemble ourselves in ways that were better for our students, for our faculty, our staff, and our community. And it's hard work. And the leaders in each of these organizations have completely took a step back, looked objectively at what their units had been doing and what they might be if they did things differently. That's hard at a university. I know we are resistant to change, and we have great institutional inertia. And for 4 units at the same time to go through this process, I want to thank them for their creativity, for their innovation, for working with all of their faculty and staff, primarily staff in these units, to rethink how they did their work and how they might do it better and to help build that team. And I will say also thanks to Susan's area, but most importantly to Human Resources and our legal general counsel office. Every one of these positions went through a rigorous process to make sure it met market, that it was necessary, that everything about this met our expectations for good human resources practices and the letter of the law. And for those who don't like this, too bad. This is the future. We're going to be nimble, we're going to be quick, we're going to be innovative, and we're going to do things that are in the best interest of the institution. Not just do what we've always done before. And there's more to come, and I'm very proud of that. If you think about strategy, operations, and finance, they've reconceptualized and are working to what a future model looks like in that portion of the organization. When you think about enrollment and student success, a similar process is happening right now, and academic affairs is deep in it too. And then you drive that down to the college level. Each of our deans, particularly our new ones, who are looking at their assets and what they have available and what the future looks like, we'll be going through similar processes because some of them have already done it. And Corinne got to go first, Dean Murphy in our College of Education. And that is a painful, difficult, challenging
experience for a leader but for an organization. But as I've said all along, from the day I arrived, we must think differently about what we do, at the same time remaining mission-focused. And I'm sorry, social media is not going to guide our direction as an institution.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well said.
Well said. I don't remember the quote about suffering slings and arrows, but social media has taken it to a different level. And as you say, we don't need to be guided by social media.
Does anybody else have anything they would like to say? All right. Hearing no further discussion, all in favor of FB1, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. FB1 is approved. Okay, the next item on our agenda is FB2, approval of budget versus actual report. First one.
Okay, so Chair McKinney, before I get into the actual report, you all received it with your board packet. I just want to talk a little bit about doing things a little differently in the area of finance. And I know the budget versus actual report has been a standard report the board has reviewed and approved at every quarterly meeting, but I think we need to expand our view into the finances. And so I shared a packet with Jason earlier in the week of some financial metrics and things that we should probably look at as a board on an ongoing basis. And so it wasn't ready for a really prime time at this point, but over the next couple of months, I'll be working with Jason to expand that view. Ronaldo and Brian and Christy, the finance team, have started putting together these packets, but I think we can expand those into additional metrics and ratios and things like that. We'll give the board a better full understanding of the university's finances. So just to touch on a few highlights, I think it's really important for the board to know our cash position, which is really a very good indicator of the university's overall financial health. Currently, we have about 190 days of cash on hand, which is incredible. Moody's standard, when they do credit ratings, is usually about 110. So we have 190. I think that bodes well for the university. Our, as you know, last year, we put in place some really heavy controls around spending, around payroll. And even though we've loosened that up, and the deans and vice presidents are now in control of making those decisions, you've seen very little change in the spending patterns. So I just think all of those types of ratios and metrics would be good information to share with the Finance Committee and with the board. So again, I just wanted to share that as we move forward over the next couple of months with Jason. So you've actually seen the report on the first quarter. There we go. So I just put together some high-level bullet statements. So if you look at total revenues overall, we're tracking right exactly on track as to where we were last year. So at this time last year, we were 41% of budget, and this year we're at 41% of budget. So getting to net tuition revenue. So it is trending slightly below budget, but I think the board should not be concerned about that. Some of the factors, and if the president or Ethan wants to jump in here, that led to a slightly below our budget. First off, during the COVID year, we paused academic dismissal and financial holds in order not to penalize students for what we were dealing with during COVID. We reinstated those this year, so that's had an impact on our enrollment. So not significant. This is not a significant problem. It's just these are some of the factors that led to it. The Border State Scholarship Program has done really well. It was slightly below what the budget was projecting, primarily because of the recruiting efforts that we were dealing with COVID, not being able to get into the high schools and such. And I mean, that third bullet there, I think, is really, really important, particularly to our campus. So we have a high proportion of low-income first-generation students, and we really saw the COVID restrictions and not being able to get into the high schools really impacting admissions of that group, applications and admissions of our first-generation students. They really rely on those high school visits to enroll into universities, and not having that. And then I think also, and Ethan's the expert on this, but I think you would probably see a lot of these students going into the workforce that didn't happen in the past. So all of those factors have played into a trend below budget, but we've got plans to cover that through reserves. And so, but the really important is that our incoming freshman class was the most highly qualified freshman class, and this will bode well for retention in future years. So as far as grants and contracts, that's significantly higher, primarily having to do with all the federal funds that are flowing into the university. And other revenues, sales and services, that's up, and that's primarily because of activities resuming on campus because we're back on campus. So on the expenditure side, I personally was absolutely really pleased with the expenditure side of the equation because, like I said, even releasing the controls we had in place centrally, basically the overall total expenditures was 27% of budget for this year and 26% of budget last year. And that's just excellent work for the campus. And personnel slightly increased, but what that is directly related to, now we backed out the BSIP one-time payments so it wouldn't skew the data, but what that's primarily related to is this time last year we had those temporary salary reductions in that were reinstated in December, so that's what caused a little bit of increase in your personnel. And then your federal and state student financial assistance, that's higher and primarily because of the federal student financial aid. So Jason, that's all I have. I'm open to any questions.
Thank you, Susan. Do I hear a motion to approve FB1?
So moved.
David, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, thank you. Does anybody have any questions or discussion for Susan? All right, hearing no discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor of FB2, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, like sign. All right, the motion carries unanimously. All right, the third item on our agenda is the approval of the line of credit with Truist Bank.
So this is just basically taking care of business. If you remember last year, it's financially prudent to take out or to have a line of credit at your in case you need it. But of course, as I was saying earlier, our cash position would tell us we're not going to need this. But it's there. It's a safety guard, and it's kind of a financially prudent thing for institutions to have. We approved it last year. It's time again to renewal that line of credit. And just a reminder, it's a $10 million unsecured line of credit, which must be renewed every year. So my last one is, we didn't tap into it before. I don't expect any that type of disaster that we would tap into it now, but it's just a safety net. So.
All right.
I noticed, looking at this, all the documents that were attached to it, which made it look like almost somebody was going to execute those, and that gave me some pause. So I'm glad for your explanation that they're just there in case we need them.
Yeah.
But we don't need them. Yeah. Very good.
Chair McKinney.
Yes.
And Regent Milliken, as the secretary last year, I went through all of these documents and signed them, and we had these discussions last year in the first year of having this $10 million line of credit. You know, I was skeptical as to the need of this when I saw the cash position of the university, but after talking about best practices and things that I just didn't know, and Susan, correct me if I'm wrong. Sorry. Correct me if I'm wrong. You all did not use this last year, no. Correct? Not once.
Even during COVID.
Yeah. Even during COVID. And also, there is a cap on the amount of times that you can use that, and that's a fixed formula that's set by the bank, not by the university. So even though you have to require the payback before the end of the current fiscal year, there is a cap on the number of times that they can use it. So, you know, in an emergent situation, which based on what you just said a minute ago, was not, and if I got this correctly, 6 months of cash on hand, in any world, that's amazing. So I don't anticipate that they need it, but I understand it based on what I went through last year with it. I've noted to Susan that my name is still on as secretary, and they're going to correct that
Christy Smith is going to correct that before the December board meeting, so those documents can be approved finally with the right name on it.
All right.
Also, the time to get a line of credit is when you don't need it.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's when you need it, you can't get it.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, I move we approve the resolution for a line of credit for Truist Bank.
Second.
All right. Any other further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, like sign. All right, the motion carries. And the last item on our agenda is the FB4 approval of the 2021-2022 internal audit plan. And Jesse, over to yours.
Good morning. Thank you all for giving me some time today to provide an update since the last time we met in August.
Just a moment. We're getting there.
All right, no worries. I'll just go ahead and provide a quick overview of what I'm going to touch on today, and thank you for the time. Since we met in August, I want to touch on some projects and other audit activities that have been completed over the past 2 months, some things that are currently in progress that I'm working on, and also touch on some projects that are coming up that are included on the draft fiscal year 22 audit plan that is in front of you. So I just would like to start with a project update of completed audit reports and projects and other audit activities that have been completed. So if you'll take a look at this overview, the first three items, if you'll remember from the August update, I noted that there were three draft reports and memos that were related to reports completed by the prior audit team that had been drafted but were not yet finalized and issued in final. The first one up there, the Professional Development Fund audit, will be issued in final in the coming days, but I'd still just like to provide a high-level overview. This one did result in three internal control recommendations, one medium and two low. And this one related to just a review of professional development funds that were issued to faculty for meritorious performance. And these used to be set up in an individual index. And since the time this review was done, there's been a lot of process changes and personnel changes, organizational changes in the provost area. So I've been able to work with the provost and his staff to obtain some updated responses on how these will be handled moving forward. And so actually the review that was done, the process is going to pretty much completely change. So the follow-up on this one will really just entail ensuring that these indexes are finalized and closed out and ensure that the process change is fully implemented. So like I said, this one is close to being finalized, but will be issued in the next couple of days. And the next two memos related to a revenue streams analysis. And this one really did not touch on the main revenue sources for the institution. It didn't touch on tuition and fees, grant funding, or state appropriations, but really took a look at those other operating revenues, such as rental income, service, sales revenue. And this was more so appeared to be a bit of a facilitative review where the audit team worked with various colleges to perform some risk assessments and some internal control reviews and take a look at to ensure basically appropriate segregation of duties were in place. They also worked with the cashier's office to ensure that areas that were collecting this type of revenue were processing it centrally. And so throughout this review, like I said, there were many educational presentations that the Office of Internal Audit provided. And so everything that was identified in this review was remediated during the review. So this one did not have any overall outstanding internal control recommendations as a whole. These were all addressed within the college level at the time of the review. And the next one is the ITS risk assessment. So again, this one was performed by the prior audit team with the ITS department. And really this took a look at our overall information security program utilizing an assessment that was created by EDUCAUSE. And this kind of takes a look at the different components of the information security program and provides an overall rating. This has been provided to the current ITS staff, and I've worked with the director over there just to kind of provide an update on this. And this review did result in three main areas for improvement, which were communicated to university leadership. This just related to overall risk management as a whole, HR security, and just testing basically our business continuity management plan and documenting that. So again, this has been communicated to management. The next two reviews I have completed over the past 2 months. The first one is the special license plate review. This just relates to a program that we have with the state of Kentucky where the special WKU license plate, we receive a portion of those funds. And so I just review that on an annual basis to make sure that basically the funds were adequately documented and comply with the program requirements. And for FY22, that has been completed. We were in compliance with those requirements. And the last one is the FISAP review. And this is just a review of supporting documentation prepared by the Financial Office of Student Financial Assistance. So I met with the director over there, and he walked me through the full application. And basically, this is just a second set of eyes signing off as an added control, stating that everything is appropriately documented and ready for submission. So I performed that in the last couple of weeks. And in progress currently, you can see on the draft audit plan, there is FY20 and FY21 of the president's expenses that I'm currently working on. So this is just due to the vacancy in the internal audit office. So rather than doing this as a separate review, I'll be scoping in both years. And obviously due to COVID, there are likely, some less transactions there in both years. So that one is currently in progress. I have had the entrance meeting working on some planning and getting obtaining documentation for that. And then the next one that's coming up, I'm currently working on some preliminary planning, is a WKU Police Department compliance review. And this was actually a management request from the police department to just kind of work with them to ensure that they have appropriate training, policies, and procedures in place. Really, I will assess their program with what's called the 7 elements of an effective compliance program that just makes sure everything is in place to ensure they are compliant with the many regulations they are required to kind of comply with. So that one will be kicking off next week. So next, I'd like to provide you with an update on the WKU Ethics and Compliance Hotline. Since we met in August, there were two new reports received. And if you recall, I was sort of in the closeout process of many of those outstanding reports at the last meeting. So since we last met, 11 reports total have been finalized, closed, and closed within the system. So currently, everything is up to date. All reports are now in closed status. And these either require reports being directed to another area on campus that handles the certain type of complaint, or working with the area to kind of finalize the review. So we are completely, as I said, up to date now. And you can see here on the bottom, I'm just continuing the promotion of the hotline. It has now been added to the WKU Report It webpage. So if you Google WKU Report It, it will pop up with the other reporting mechanisms, or the link is directly listed directly there on the slide. It's also available on our Office of Internal Audit webpage, and you can see the link there. And also the phone number. It seems most people like to use the webpage just because you can report anonymously, confidentially, and you can do that over the phone as well. And we've got a great system just to provide a quick overview where it truly is completely anonymous. I'm able to communicate with individuals through the system directly. There's no direct communication unless the reporting person prefers to. So just kind of to highlight that, and I'm just continuing to promote that as I work with various areas on campus, just letting them know it's out there. If there's anything, if you see something, say something, and I'm happy to kind of receive those. Let's see. Well, sorry, I think we're stuck. 1 second. One, there we go. So two major initiatives that are currently in progress. As you'll remember, I touched on the risk assessment process last time, and this is still sort of an ongoing process as we are working. I'm working with the president and the president's cabinet directly. I've compiled the risk assessment results that were received. However, this still is a working document, so if any of you that did not weigh in would like to, if there's anyone that would like to meet with me specifically, or I'm happy to send out that survey link one more time. Moving forward, I hope to provide, we'll kind of have a standard timeline in the spring, so hopefully we can kind of get in the habit of doing that at a certain time frame. This year, again, I kind of jumped into it right when I started, so the timing is a bit off, but it is still available out there, and I'm happy to redistribute that or meet with any of you individually if you have anything you'd like to add prior to us kind of finalizing this risk profile. And the step that we are at currently is, as I mentioned, I'm working collaboratively with the president's cabinet members. They have all been presented with the risk profile, and so this includes any high critical rated risks that were obtained through these questionnaires and many meetings that I had during the risk assessment process. And we are working collaboratively to identify appropriate risk owners across campus, the appropriate cabinet member or process owner. And so what I'm asking for is prior to the January meeting, the January committee meeting, I'll be kind of presenting on this in more detail, but this will include the high rated risk, critical rated risk, and risk responses from these risk owners. And I put together a guide to help them kind of think through, okay, what are we doing to currently mitigate or control this risk? You know, what would be the result if these controls were to fail? Are we able to withstand the residual risk? Do we need to be doing more? And so this will kind of be included in the risk responses and presented to all of you prior to the January meeting, where I'll kind of touch on that in a little more detail. But as I said, if there's anything you'd like to add, please definitely feel free to reach out, and I'm happy to meet with anyone if you'd like to talk through that. The next pretty big initiative that I'm working on right now is the follow-up project. So I'm currently following up on the process reaching out to the process owners to follow up on those inherited open items. So these are all audit recommendations that were issued by the prior audit team. And there are about 17 total areas I'm starting to work with and continuing to work with to get updates. And as you can imagine, throughout COVID and due to the vacancy in the office, there have been quite a few personnel changes, process changes. So this initial round is taking a bit of time just to kind of meet with each area, obtain these updates, obtain updated implementation dates. And then moving forward, I see this to be a much more streamlined process, you know, as these reach outs will be expected on a quarterly basis. And we'll kind of get, once these are updated again, it'll be kind of streamlined moving forward. And the process for this is really, like I said, I'm just requesting updates, talking through the recommendations, seeing if there have been any significant process updates, personnel changes, and what you know, deciding on an updated response or updated action plan for moving forward. And I, as I mentioned, I'll continue to kind of touch base on these each quarter and provide you all with an update on where those stand. All right, so taking a look ahead at the next couple of quarters, the first block I have here just addresses the draft audit plan, and I'm happy to take any questions you may have. As you can see, it consists of the five required annual projects that the Office of Internal Audit performs, a couple of carryover projects from the previous audit years, and these were audits that were scoped into either the FY20 or the draft FY21 audit plan that I believe to be still be relevant or areas that had not been touched in a while by the Office of Internal Audit, so they remain on the plan. It also includes a couple of projects from those preliminary risk assessment results, and also, as I mentioned, a couple of management requests. So if anyone has any questions, can take those now, or we can wait until.
Does anybody have any questions about the audit plan? Go ahead, Jessica.
All right. And just touching base on, like I said, a couple of upcoming projects that I plan to kick off this quarter and next quarter. The WKU PD compliance review, as I mentioned, is currently in the preliminary planning stage. NCAA agreed upon procedures. This is something that the Office of Internal Audit has worked with the athletics department in the past, and so I'll be meeting with them to kind of see our involvement, what's required of our office. And then also the fees for service agreements audit. This is one that was carried over from the prior year, so this one will be kicking off here in the next couple of months. And then I just would like to touch on a few other initiatives that the Office of Internal Audit is currently focused on. The first and foremost, filling the vacant internal auditor position. This position has now been posted, so we are accepting applications, and I'll be posting this on the Association of College and University Auditors website. Really, I hope to get some applications through there. I know there are a lot of, this is a great touch point, I guess, to kind of promote this, and we're also using other avenues, Institute of Internal Auditors, and I'm working with HR to kind of determine other places to publish this and advertise. So this is currently in motion. I'm excited about that. as you can see, we've got a lot to accomplish, so having someone else in the office will definitely help with that. All right, and so next, just as the new person is onboarded, really be working to finalize updates to our website, process documentation, looking at the audit charter, just making sure that it is up to date with our current processes, and also focusing on advisory services and informative presentations for groups across campus. I'm currently working with to get in front of a few groups over the next couple of months. Throughout the risk assessment process, I was able to meet with a few staff groups and a lot of individuals. I really, it worked out that that process kind of kicked off right when I started because I was able to kind of meet a lot of great folks across campus and learn about the initiatives going on. And also just included in this, as we've kind of touched on before, working with the president to kind of just further mature the enterprise risk management process as a whole. You know, I appreciate the support provided by both the board and the president on that initiative, and I see that growing in the coming quarter. So I believe, yes, that's it for the update today. I'm happy to take any questions you may have.
All right. Thank you, Jesse. Do I have a motion to approve it before the 2021-22
so
internal audit plan? Is that you, Dave?
Yes.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Shabilla. Do we have any further discussion or questions for Jesse on the audit plan?
Real quick, just a comment. I cannot stress the importance of this position and maintaining it, keeping it filled on this campus. I'm happy with the discussions that I've had with the internal auditor. I know that Shane and I have both met separately. Been a fair amount of time going over the plans, and I think that this is I cannot state how critical this role is to keep filled. So anybody that's listening that may be qualified to apply, I would encourage it. It's a position that needs to be filled, and we need to make sure that we support internal audit on this campus. Thanks.
Yeah, I can attest to the fact that Jesse has been spread thin so far, so she definitely needs some help.
I would just like to add, as you probably know, I teach strategic management, but I also teach business ethics. And one of the things that many people do not understand is the policies and procedures that an institution has to have in place to check to make sure to give people the opportunity to blow the whistle if they need to, if they see something that needs to be reported. There's also just regular checks and balances. And so I am doing what I can to give her plenty of opportunities. I'm sure she's appreciating them to spread that message on campus because we want to know if there's something that we need to be aware of. And so I'm trying to make sure as much as I can that she's spreading the word. And so I appreciate her being willing to do that out here just to help.
One other item, too, if anybody, she already hit on it, but if anybody that didn't get to respond to the survey earlier, Jesse's open to a phone call or a in-person meeting, either one, for you to, if you don't like doing the surveys online. So I just wanted to reiterate that. Any other questions or discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor of FB4, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. All right, the motion carries. And I believe that concludes our business for the finance and budget.
All right, thank you very much, Chair McKinney. And we're going to break until 10:25. That's about 6 or 7 minutes. Give everybody a quick bathroom break if they need it.